Hey, how's everybody doing? You guys good? Listen, I had some great conversations with people this morning, and I find this really interesting, and I have to remind myself of this. I talked to multiple people that are on both sides of this spectrum. I had multiple people that came up to me, and they were like, I woke up this morning, I could not wait to get here. I wanted to see what it was going to be, like how it was going to be different. I wanted to like just feel what was going to be happening. And then there were other people that I talked to. I had a handful of them that were like, I almost did not come this morning because it's different. And I wanted to just stay home and stream the service because I don't want to be there when it's different. And I'm like, you know what? We're all different. And some people thrive on change. And some people, like, change feels like it is going to be the death of you. And some of you are just in between and you feel like you're Switzerland. You don't have an opinion either way. You're just fine with whatever. I just want to say, listen, if change is hard for you and you're here this morning, you did it. All right. And you're halfway through the service and you did it. All right. And if you're home watching this because you're afraid of the change, there are lots of people here and they're all surviving. It's going to be good. You should come back next week. So listen, this is an exciting time for us as a church. It really is. So I want to read a story from you for you this morning from the book of 2 Kings, which my name is Jeff O'Connor. And my wife Carrie and I are the lead pastors here. I think sometimes we forget to introduce ourselves because it starts to feel like this is family, and then you kind of assume everybody knows you, and maybe you don't. So we want to welcome you here this morning. We're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, and the verses will be on the screen behind me, and you can follow along. You can flip in your Bibles and follow along that way if you'd like. Here's the deal. We're starting a new series next week that I'm really excited about. We're actually going to be going through our values over the next couple of months, and so next week we're going to start on the last value that we have, which is we love life, and we're going to have a blast with that series. It's going to be really, really good, and you don't want to miss it. This morning, though, I had something that's been kind of on my heart, and there are certain sermons that you may get from whoever's speaking up here. You know, it's not always me, whoever's speaking up here, that might be a little bit, I don't want to say a little bit more raw than normal, but sometimes there's more distance removed. Like, I've processed something from God's word over a longer period of time before I'm bringing it to you. This is not one of those scenarios. So this is something that fairly recently I was reading through and just really felt like God was speaking to me and sensed like this is something maybe that we need to talk as a church family. So I don't know if any of you don't need to raise your hand, okay? These are all rhetorical questions, but this probably rings true for most of you. Have you ever just been in a season of your life where things, it just feels like life is not moving the way that you want it to move? Like stuff is not, the brakes are not falling the way that you wanted them to fall. Or you feel like God gave you a vision and you were running in that vision, but now you find yourself feeling weary in that vision, or that vision is starting to feel old. Or maybe, like, let's make it really practical. Maybe you're sitting there, you're a parent and you've got young kids and you're going, I know God called us to have this family, and I know these kids are a blessing from the Lord, but I'm just spent. I feel like I have no energy to give. I feel like God's called me to love and to raise up these kids. Or maybe you're a grandparent and you're going, you know, I know that God's called me to invest in not just the generation behind me, but the generation after that, and I just don't feel like I'm hitting the mark. Like, do you ever feel that way in your life? You know, we've got all these different hats that we're trying to wear, and so where this is coming from for me was just in one of those spots where you go, like, do you ever just feel where you're going, I feel like even saying a jack of all trades, master of none is like, that sounds too positive, where you just sort of feel like, I'm just mediocre at everything that I'm doing. You ever have that feeling, you know, where you're going like, I feel like I'm just okay at all the things, and I want to be a man of God that God looks at and he's honored by his life, which, you know, that's ridiculous that we would strive to, like, God's not going to love me more if I'm a better man of God. Like, that's not the way that he works, right? But these are all thoughts that we have. Or, like, I want to do a really good job of being a husband, or I want to do a really good job raising my children, or being faithful with the calling that God has in my life. Like, we all feel those kinds of feelings. And for me, I was just kind of in a season where it was like, man, I just don't feel like I'm hitting the mark in any particular area. And I read this story in Scripture, and I just felt like God really, really encouraged me and met me at the place that I was. And I just want to, like, sometimes we bring teachings on a Sunday morning, and it's like, there's a very specific idea that we're gunning towards, and it's like, if you're dealing with this thing, here's wisdom from God's word and truth from God's word, and then other times, it's a little bit more broad, and I feel like this is one of those times. God knows your circumstances, where you're at. He knows all the specifics of what you're walking through. And I believe that God wants to speak to you this morning from his word, not because of anything that I say, but through his word. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is powerful, that it's living and it's active, that it penetrates to the dividing line of our soul and our spirit, of our joints and our marrow. In other words, it goes down to the deepest parts of who we are. And then we're told that it actually judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. God's word is so powerful, and God has the ability through, we can all read the same text, but in this room, there's a whole variety of different circumstances, and some of you are just weary this morning, and you feel tired, and you feel like you don't have any more energy to put into, like, the next step that God's calling you to. Or some of you are unclear, and you feel like you would give anything to just have wisdom for a decision that needs to be made. Or some of you feel like you don't have any vision. It's your world has shrunk, and you know that there's more out there, but you don't know what God is asking you to do with your life. And again, fill in the blank with whatever it is that you're feeling. And I just believe that God wants to speak to you this morning through his word. And he can take the truth of his word, and he can meet you in your specific circumstance in exactly what you're going through, and he can speak to you. And that's what we're believing that he's going to do this morning. So let's read this story. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Now, Elisha was the main prophet in Israel at this time. So he was, if you've heard of Elijah, he was the guy who followed Elijah as one of the primary prophets in the nation of Israel. So this woman who's married to a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slave. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. All right, so here's what I want us to do. Now we read the story, you heard the story. It's a pretty cool story, supernatural. It's, you know, God's provision. It's God working multiple different pieces and working in ways that we can't imagine or we can't create, we can't manufacture on our own. We're gonna kind of go like line by line, verse by verse through this passage. And I just have some thoughts, some things to kind of unpack. And again, I want you to be asking God what it is that he wants to speak to you this morning through this passage. So in this story, verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Right, so this woman is finding herself in some really serious circumstances, right? I mean, she's just, I think sometimes we read in scripture and it's like, we think that they're mythical figures, like it's a fable that we're reading, and it's not. This is an actual human being. So let's read it with that lens. Let's think about that. This woman who was married to a man, presumably that she loved, she's had children with this man, and this man dies. And so she's in a spot where she is feeling all kinds of grief, all kinds of loss. You know, imagine the pain. And some of you, you don't have to imagine because maybe recently you've lost somebody that you love. It's not a leap of imagination for you. You're in it right now. And you know that sense of loss and that sense of pain. that grieving that comes with that, the sense of powerlessness that she has in that moment, of feeling like, this is not the way I sketched out my life plan. This isn't how I planned on things going, and this is where I find myself. And then it's not that she's got grief and she's got loss and the pain that comes with that and the powerlessness that comes with that, but now all of a sudden there's the potential for even more loss and even more grief and even more pain that comes with it and even more powerlessness as her boys are about to be taken away from her and forced into slavery. I mean, the heaviness that she comes to Elijah with, and it says for a reason that she cried out to Elisha. She was in a desperate spot. These are serious issues. And you may be in this place and you're dealing with serious issues and you're feeling serious feelings. And I don't know what those might be, but you find yourself walking through circumstances. You may be somebody who has been believing God for a healing and you've not received that healing, and you feel like you're at the end of your rope and you don't understand why you've not been healed, and you don't understand why circumstances have moved the way that they've moved. Like we bring, you know, if we just come to church or we go to our life group or we spend time with other believers and we just slap on the happy face and the facade and we act like everything is good, I mean, what is that? That doesn't do any of us any good, right? But if we come honestly and we go, like, life is not always easy. And even when it's good, there's a danger for us to get complacent. There's a danger for us to lose motivation. We can get too comfortable in our lives, right? And so you might be here and that's you. You're just going like, yeah, life's pretty good, and I'm kind of like being lulled to sleep by it almost. I can feel that, right? So this woman comes, and then you mix into it the emotion. Like, she says this for a reason. The confusion of, like, she says to this, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. So you add that in, she's going, listen, my husband loved the Lord. My sons and I, we love the Lord. And he died still. And they're about ready to be taken away and forced into slavery to our creditors right now, and we love God. It's not supposed to go that way for us, right? Like, I wouldn't think that this is the way that it's supposed to pan out. And there's that added tension of I thought that it wasn't supposed to be this way if I follow Jesus, if I love God. What's going on here? What's up with that? And she's in this spot where she's calling out to Elisha, but really she's calling out to God. And Elisha responds to her, and I love his response. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? That question, how can I help you? When I read this the first time, I just thought of, okay, so I used to listen to, on talk radio, Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guru, and people call up with all kinds of questions, and a lot of times they're very detailed scenarios in their life that they're walking through all kinds of chaos. They made really bad decisions, or people close to them made really bad decisions, or tragedy came upon them, and some people don't have any concept of the fact that they're on a radio program, and he's got like 3 minutes to hear their story and then give them advice. And so they just start going down all these rabbit trails, and I noticed that he had this, I loved it. He would wait for them to take a breath if they were giving too much detail, and when they would take a breath, he would interject and he would go, how can I help you today? Almost like a, we can't talk about all of this stuff right now. What do you need from me, right? And Elijah's like, she's spilling all this stuff, and he's like, so what is it that you need? And I think that it's really interesting because when you read in the Gospels, Jesus all the time had people coming to him for healing, and they're literally blind people who are being led to him because they can't find their way on their own. And then they come to him and Jesus goes, what do you want me to do for you? And you kind of read that and you're like, duh, like I want to see, you know? And this woman's like, well, duh, I don't want my children to go into slavery, and I don't want to lose everything, you know, right? Jesus literally has men carried, paralyzed people carried to him on a mat. And he's like, so what is it that you want? There's something in God where he wants us to speak out of our mouths what it is that we need. Like, we have to say to him, this is the scenario that I find myself in. This is what I'm asking of you. And even when we don't know what to ask, we don't know what the solution is, like if we find ourselves in a spot and we're going, I don't even know what it is to ask, to say that to God and to go, like, this woman, she doesn't even know. She's just going, I don't know. My husband died and I owe a bunch of money and my sons are about to be taken away. I don't even know what to ask. I need something. I need God to do something in my life. And even that, to not have the words to say it, but to say to God, I don't even, tell me what to ask of you. Tell me what it is that I need, because I don't even know what I need. Even that, God is interested in you and I entering into a dialogue with him. He's interested in us bringing our lives before him with all the good, all the bad, all the ugly, to bring it to him. So he asks her, what do you need? And every single one of us in this room, we have needs this morning. You may feel like your faith has shrunk and you need an increase in your faith. You may be here this morning and you just feel like you are weak, you don't have strength to keep going, and you need God to increase your strength. You may be somebody who feels like your vision is, you don't have vision, it's small vision, and you need God to expand your vision in line with his vision for your life and for the world around you. Maybe you lack motivation. You know God's calling you to do stuff, but you just feel tired. Your need is rest. I mean, every single one of us, like, we've got all kinds, you got a decision you got to make. You need wisdom for that. Maybe you are craving connection in relationship. And every single one of us, we find ourselves in these spots where we're just going, God, I need something. And I don't even know what it is, but I need something. I need you to provide for me. And Elisha says, what resources do you have available? What do you have in your house? And she replies, your servant has nothing here at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. It's like she's sitting there going, I am completely empty. I'm barely hanging on here. I got nothing to give. I don't have any faith to muster up a big faith-filled prayer. I don't have some really wise thought to conjure up wisdom on my own. And in this moment, you know, when you're in a spot like that, when you're in a spot like that, next to nothing feels like nothing. And she's like, I have nothing here at all. Well, except for this little jar of olive oil, and that's it. And when we're in a desperate situation, when we're in a spot where we're discouraged, when we're in a spot where we've been lulled to sleep by the good life even, it feels like we can't even motivate ourselves to move out of the spot that we've been lulled to sleep in. She's like, I got nothing. And next to nothing can feel like nothing, but it's not. Because even the fact that you're aware that you're being lulled to sleep and that you're maybe a little bit too comfortable in your walk with God, that's something. Even the fact that you know you need to have faith to believe for God to do something, but you feel tired, that's something to go, I need God to provide for me what I don't have. Even the fact that you recognize that you need substantive relationships in your life, you lack that connection in your life, to even realize that that's a need that you have, that's something, right? She's going, I got nothing except for this little jar of olive oil. And Elisha says to her, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. You know, God requires you and I to walk, even when we're tired. Now, we'll balance this in just a minute, but even when we're tired, we're called to walk. God gives us things to do. And in this case, they're very small things to do. But God gives us steps that we're to take, things that we're to do, even when we feel like we have nothing in us to take those steps, to do those particular things. Like, life doesn't happen to us. There is some element of us going, I don't have a lot except for this little jar of olive oil. And God goes, well, then I want you to move with that little jar of olive oil that you do have. And if I'm honest, the spot where I came across this passage and where I felt like God comforted me, challenged me, it was in a moment of just going like, I just don't, I don't have the energy to put into these particular things that I feel like are not what they're supposed to be, and I know they're not what they're supposed to be, but I feel like I can't do what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I can't do all the things. I feel like, you know, fill in the blank, right? We've all been there. We've all felt that way. And in those moments, God goes, okay, there's steps for you to take, and they're small. Like, the assignment was go find empty jars. That's pretty easy. That's a pretty low threshold of an ask. It's going around to your neighbors and saying, hey, I'm kind of working on a project. I'm wondering if you got any jars around the house that are empty that I could borrow for a little bit. That's pretty easy. It's not going to their house and going, listen, I've got this four-part plan. And what I need from you is jars that are full of olive oil. Like, you're not asking for a lot from people. You're asking a very reasonable request. And so God gives these steps that are reasonable for us to take. Now, sometimes God calls us to jump off the cliff, okay? But more often than not, even when God calls us to jump off the cliff, he's been calling us to take baby steps in the direction of the cliff for quite some time and building our faith all along. And if God's calling us to jump off the cliff, more often than not, again, I don't want to speak in, you know, like it's always that way, but more often than not, he has cultivated us to a point where, yeah, it's a leap of faith for us, but it's not any bigger of a leap of faith for us than just putting one foot in front of the other, right? So she's given this task of, it's easy, go and collect empty jars. It requires little to do, it requires little faith, it requires little effort. But what you have to remember is that what God requires of us in doing, that maybe little requirements that he's asking us, little steps that he's calling us to take, but that pales in comparison to what he's going to do on his end of the bargain. So he calls us to take the step, and it's small. It doesn't feel small. When you are exhausted, to take one step feels like it's going to take everything that you've got. But the problem is that many times when we're weary, and we know this is where I need to end up getting, and we think, well, it's not just this one step I got to take. Then I got to take steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 before I actually get to where things are supposed to be. And then we don't even take step number one. And I love that Elisha actually says to her, he goes, don't ask for a few jars either. Like, I know the condition that you're in, and you're going to want to limit what you think God can do. You're going to want to go like, well, this is what I can handle. This is how I could see it playing out. Like, maybe God could multiply that oil some, but probably within reason he's going to, don't do that. In that moment, fight to believe for great things. In that moment, you're only taking a small step, but don't shortchange what God is going to do. So he requires very little in comparison to what he's going to do as a result of our obedience. So verse 4, then he says, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Even that, I love the instruction, and I don't, this is probably me just reading into it, okay, so this is not God speaking this, okay, but I love that Elisha gives her the instruction, the permission to close the door behind you. She's not taking a great public risk of faith. He's not saying, go into the town square with those jars and cry out to everyone and say, watch. Because she's not in a spot where she has faith to do that. She's in a spot where I can hide in the corner of my room and I can cry out to God and go, God, he said this is going to happen. Please let it happen. And there's a promise that God will meet her. That in the next to nothingness that she feels, in the emptiness that she feels, that God will show up supernaturally. That he will do, he's calling her to do what she can do, but he will do what she cannot do. And verse 5 says, she left him and she shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. There's always an element of trust, of obedience, of faithfully putting one foot in front of the next, and you just keep pouring, and you keep pouring, and you keep believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. In our relationship with Jesus, there is so much of this that is true for us. What he requires of us is faithfulness, not expertise. He just requires faithfulness, that we keep putting one foot in front of the next. And as he gives us steps to take and tasks to do, that we do those things and we go to those places. And so God opens up doors of conversation for us, and we know that the step that we're called to take is to step into that conversation. And we don't know what we're going to say, and we don't know why God's wanting us to cultivate a relationship with that person, but we can sense him leading us into that conversation, and our responsibility is faithfulness in that moment. It's obedience. We sense God calling us to go knock on our neighbor's door and to strike up a conversation and to check in on him. Our responsibility is not to know what 12 steps are going to come after that and what our relationship with our neighbor is going to look like 2 years from now. Our responsibility is to be faithful to do what we're called to do. I love it. Somebody just stopped by the church this morning. I was here early alone, and somebody came by the church. They just got off of a night shift, and they were like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, what are you doing here? You know? And he said, honestly, I just felt like I was supposed to come here and pray over the church. And I was like, all right, well, pray over the church, man. You do what God's calling you to do. And he's like, well, I don't really know why. I'm like, I don't care. If God's telling you to do it, then do it. I mean, so you let him fill in the gaps on what that's supposed to be about and the things you're supposed to pray for and what he's teaching you about that and what is being torn down spiritually because of your prayers or built up spiritually because of your prayers. You leave that to God to figure out. And he may or may not let you in on that part of the story. That's up to him. Our job is to be faithful and to walk in obedience, right? So she does it. She walks in obedience. And verse 6 says that when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. And I find it really interesting that God filled what was obediently submitted to him to be filled. Nothing more and nothing less. That to whatever degree she would faithfully walk out and take each step that God was calling her to take, God would meet her faithfully in each of those steps. And when the jars that she had gotten from everybody had been filled supernaturally, the oil stopped flowing. There's some correlation to our willingness to take the steps that God is calling us to take. And you may or may not know what those are. And again, I know we're from in all different circumstances and we find ourselves in all different seasons of life. But the question I found myself asking when I was reading through this passage was, God, you know, what are the jars that you're calling me to bring to you so that you'll fill them up? Is there space that I need to create in my life to allow you to fill it? Are there steps that you're calling me to take that you're wanting to meet me as I take those steps? Like, let's just strip off any, just in case you still feel like there's a facade. Have you ever felt like you know the solution to what you need is, you know you need to spend time in prayer, or you know that the solution is you need to get into God's word, that there's life in God's word, but have you ever felt like that's work? And it feels like work to get into God's word, or it feels like work to spend time in prayer, and you find yourself in a spot where you're going, I know that that's what I need to do, and it's horrible to even say it out loud, and so a lot of times we don't even say it out loud. But even the thought of getting into God's word feels like a chore to me right now. The thought of prayer feels like a chore to me. See, in those moments, to not beat ourselves up about it, but to go, God, what is the step that you're calling me to take? What is the space that you're wanting to fill? And maybe I only feel like I can bring two tiny jars before you, but that's what I'm going to bring before you. And I'm going to trust that you'll fill up whatever I bring to you. Maybe all I can muster is a prayer to say out loud, God, right now prayer feels like a chore. Help me with that. God, right now, I can't even muster the energy to ask you for healing because I've been asking you for healing for 10 years and you haven't done it. And I don't understand why. Maybe your step is to voice that to God. That's the step. That's the space that God is calling you to bring before him so that he can fill it up with his presence. And as he fills up that space and as you take that step and you're faithful in what he's calling you to do, he will meet you in the next and he will call you to bring more jars and he will call you to give more steps, to take more steps. But it's not on us to figure out what all of that is. It's on us to do the thing that is in front of us. What are the words that you're supposed to speak out loud to God right now? What's the vision that he's called you to that you've not taken a step towards? And that you're supposed to ask him, God, what is the step that I need to take to move in that direction? What's the dream that God gave you years ago? And you feel like you're nowhere closer to it right now than you were 5 years ago? What is the step that he's asking you to take? And if you don't know, ask him. See, we're in this spot where God has steps for us to take, space that we need to make in preparation for his provision. For his provision of wisdom, for his provision of clarity, for his provision of an increase in faith, for his provision of moving us out of our comfortable existence and into the dangerous life of following Jesus wholeheartedly. Now, I wonder if for some of us, it's like we've been lulled to sleep. We're a little too comfortable. And when Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit to his first followers when he was launching the church, he referred to the Holy Spirit as being comforter. Because to follow Jesus means we're actually going to need comfort. And some of us don't need the Spirit of God in our life because we're plenty comfortable on our own. So maybe for you, it's to get uncomfortable. So I don't know. Maybe God gave you a vision, like I said, and you've grown weary in it. And you stop believing, and it's time for you to take some steps, a baby step this morning, to ask God to reignite your vision and your passion for what he's called you to. Maybe you lack clarity for something. You don't know what the vision is that God's asking you to, but you know that there's something more than what you're doing with your life right now. And maybe for you, it's that you have something. It's a small jar of olive oil. It's the realization that I think there's actually more that I'm supposed to be doing with my life, that God wants to actually expand his kingdom in my life and through my life more than what I'm expecting him to. That's a start. So to ask God, I have this gnawing sense. What do I do about that? Right? That's a step that we could take. Or maybe you've thought that it's all on you. And instead of getting jars and then trusting God to fill them, you've seen it as your job to come up with the plan, to find the jars, to fill the jars supernaturally with the oil, to figure out all the steps that need to be taken. And for you, you need to be reminded who it is that's the provider. You need to be reminded who it is that's the author of life, who it is that brings restoration to those that are broken, who has the power to heal, and who holds those things in the palm of his hand because he's our sustainer, our author of life. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. But here's what I want us to do. You may have a very clear idea, like as we're reading God's word, God may be speaking some stuff to you, stirring some stuff up in you. But here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray together in just a moment. I just want us to be quiet before God. And then we'll pray and we'll close. But I want us to be quiet before God for a minute or so. And I'm just going to, we're going to ask the question. God, what are the next steps that you have for us? Speak to us in this moment. God, we come to you this morning and we are asking for you to show us what our next steps are. God, we're in this place and we're in all different circumstances and seasons of life, and some of us are on the mountaintop and some of us are in the valley. Some of us are motivated, but we just don't know where to go with that motivation, and some of us are just exhausted. We all have different needs, but we come to you this morning trusting that you are faithful. So God, I pray over those that are listening in this morning, in this gymnasium, online. God, I pray that those that sense that you have given them certain gifts, but they don't know how to cultivate them, that you would give them their next steps. God, that those who are exhausted, show them the steps they need to take to rest in you. Those who feel faithless, show them the step to take that you could begin to rekindle a strong faith and a trust in you. God, those whose vision has shrunk, begin to speak your dreams and your vision for their lives, for your kingdom. God, for those who are too comfortable, would you begin the process of shaking them out of that place of comfort? For those who feel fearful and timid, would you fill them with boldness? Give them steps to take. God, for every single one of us, Lord, our desire is to honor you. And we believe that you desire to move in and through our lives supernaturally. So God, we give you permission to do that. God, I ask that your hope would rest in our hearts and in our minds, that our trust would be anchored to you and to you alone. And God, just like this woman that we read about, that as we take the steps you've called us to, God, that we would see you move supernaturally in our lives and through our lives for your glory. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I think God has some big things in store for us as a church in this coming season, and I'm excited to journey this with all of you. I know the elders feel the same way, the staff feels the same way. Like we're excited about what God is up to, and I don't know about you, but just being along for the ride sometimes is a great place to be, because God is doing his thing, and we just get to decide if we want to be a part of it or not. So thanks for being here this morning. We'll see you back here next week, where we'll start unpacking how it is that we love life as followers of Jesus. So we'll see you next week. Have a great day.